We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Okay, Russ, for the score in Chicago. The Danny Parkins Show.
Least helpful local talk show host, Danny Parkins.
Afternoons on the Score.
Twitter is down, by the way.
Okay, so
Twitter
it's not just down. Me, right?
No.
Okay.
It's down.
Twitter
is down right now.
So if you've noticed, like, your anxiety has decreased, it's because Twitter is unavailable.
It's not just about the lifestyle and the Twitter.
The Wani bingo board.
Hopefully Twitter's up next week so we can get this out there so
hopefully
people
not.
Can actually play along.
Oh, it's gone forever.
Yeah, that's the thing. Do we want Twitter to come back for the content or just be done?
And if you choose to be on negative Twitter, then you're not welcome on positive Twitter, ever. And there needs to be Twitter police, because there's so much negativity that's generated.
I got real trigger happy with the mute button about 4 or 5 months ago, and it's made Twitter a much more pleasant experience.
It's a block party! Again. Did you get the invitation to the block party? Here is your invite, baby!
A much, much more pleasant experience. It's not nearly as anger or anxiety inducing as it used to be before. I just went crazy with that mute button a few months ago.
This mute button is so huge. You gotta get that mute button turned on.
To me, it's the addictive nature of scrolling.
Yeah.
It's not even necessarily, like, it's not that I can't handle feedback or people MFing me or saying horrible things or, like, you know, wanting me fired or die, whatever it is.
They can be following me without me knowing, right? Choose to read my tweet and then take that personally. That's like going into a town square, seeing a big notice board, and there's a notice, guitar lessons, and you go, but I don't want guitar lessons. There's a number here. All right, all that, right? Are you giving me guitar lessons? Yeah. I don't want any. Fine, it's not for you then. Just walk away. Don't worry about it.
So funny, man.
The Danny Parkin Show.
That's what all the kids listen to you, man. You are the best thing on the radio!
Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Thanks for letting us take you into your weekend here on the Danny Parkin Show. Rami Makhlouf is in. He's been in since Tuesday. We've had a lot of fun, even though he has a couple of horrifyingly bad sports thoughts.
Two really big ones almost knocked your head off today of terrible sports takes. In your opinion, terrible sports takes. The putting a roof on Wrigley Field, which again, I said if it was feasible and realistic, I would do it because I love baseball, played on time in perfect conditions. And I'm not on the Josh Allen train. I think by the end of next season, he's benched. He's not a starting quarterback in this league. He's Mitch Trubisky 2.0.
Okay. I said it again. I didn't think it would be worse than Wrigley. I didn't think it was possible. And then the Josh Allen thought is legitimately
okay. I know what you're fooled by. I know what you're fooled by. The big arm, the athleticism. I get it.
I watch.
Okay.
He looks good.
Okay.
The accuracy is there. He has 14 touchdowns against 3 interceptions so far this year. He's averaging 340 passing yards per game. They're going spread offense in Buffalo and slinging it all over the field. He's been incredible.
All right.
He legitimately.
Remember Mitch Trubisky threw 6 touchdowns?
Yeah.
That was impressive. That was a big game.
With like 5 defensive starters out for Tampa. Here's how wrong you are. Josh Allen is probably going to finish top 5 in the MVP race this year.
Oh, no way.
And after next season, is probably going to get a $150 million contract extension.
That would be a bad investment on the Bills' part. I'm not saying that won't happen because the Bills have made some questionable decisions in the past, but that would be a bad investment if they put $150 into Josh Allen.
$150.
$150 million. He's worth. $150 million. I'd give him that. $150 million. Ridiculous. No way in hell I'd give that guy $150 million.
It's truly an incredible sports thought.
Okay.
So I was thinking about Mike Davis, because Mike Davis is like a particular...
You brought him up at least 20 times this week. I feel like he's giving you nightmares. I feel like you're having nightmares about Mike Davis.
It's like a particular thing, right? Because trading Gleyber Torres for Aroldis Chapman, right? They knew how good Gleyber Torres was. Like, they knew that was going to be painful 3, 4, 5 years into the future. They did it for Aroldis Chapman now. And then Fernando Tatis Jr., you didn't know how good he was going to be, but prospects get traded all the time who you never see with the big league club, right? Like, it's obviously an all-time horrible trade, but it's not like he was with your big league club and everybody got a chance to get to know him. And Mike Davis wasn't with the Bears for a while. He had, like, what, 11 carries? I think it was one game with 5 carries, one game with 6 carries for the Bears. It's not like we saw him a lot. The best comp to Mike Davis to me is DJ LeMahieu.
That's the first name that popped into my head, too. Didn't he win a batting title?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
DJ LeMahieu won a batting title, but when he was with the Cubs, he came up and he was, you know, a call-up for an injury, and he played for a little while, and then he got sent back down, and then he was a September call-up. And you just, like, you saw him for a little bit, and he was fine, and then they traded him before the 2012 season, and nobody thought anything of it. And now he's awesome, and you're like, oh, man, could the Cubs sign DJ LeMahieu to, like, a $80 million contract or something ridiculous this offseason? Like, they really need DJ LeMahieu. He's the missing link. And then Jim in Lockport just texted in my Bulls example. Spencer Dinwiddie. Not a superstar, but the Bulls have had no point guard talent for the last 7 years. Now, finally, they have Coby White. But, I mean, they have been horrible at point guard for years. This dude was on their D-League team. Couldn't sniff a minute with the Bulls. Goes to the Nets, and it's just like immediately
lighting
dropping
it up.
17 a game in the NBA, efficient, like just like looking good. Like, what? How that guy was a Bull? He could have been here. Like we could have been the 10th seed instead of the 12th seed. Like, so not necessarily huge difference makers or anything like that. But like Mike Davis is replacing Christian McCaffrey and putting up Christian McCaffrey levels of versatility and production.
It's not sustainable, though, right? Like, if Christian McCaffrey was out for the season, you'd be going, all right, when does this stop for Mike? Because it's got to stop at some point, right? He can't keep this up.
Yeah, that's probably right. But for now, it's kind of insane. Like, they are running, when you watch the Panthers, and they've got a 3-game winning streak, they are throwing to him regularly out of the backfield. They're giving him the Christian McCaffrey game plan in terms of touches. And it's Mike freaking Davis. It's just, it's a really weird thing.
Does this make you wonder about Matt Nagy at all? That the Panthers can get this out of Mike Davis, but the Bears couldn't get a fraction out of this out of the dude. And in a stable of running back, I mean, remember last year them talking about the running backs coming into the seed? They drafted Montgomery. They have Tariq Cohen come back for another season. We added this Mike Davis guy. We think he's going to contribute a lot. And they got nothing out of the running game last year as a whole. With those three guys, you would think you could get some production out of it, especially when you see Mike Davis go to Carolina. And like you said, put up Christian McCaffrey numbers because they're putting him in a position to succeed and asking him to do things he's good at.
He's had over 20 touches in 3 straight games.
That's amazing.
The Bears never had a running back get 20 touches in a game. And it's not just carries. Against Atlanta, it was 16 rushes, 9 catches. He had 9 catches on 10 targets. Now, only 6 yards a catch, but also scored a touchdown. But that's 25 touches in a game that they won. And by the way, those are all in wins for Carolina. So 3 straight games, 3 straight wins, 3 straight games with more than 20 touches, 10 targets, 6 targets, 9 targets in the passing game for Mike Davis. 5'9".
I mean, did we even know he could catch the ball when he was here? Was that anything that we ever even saw that they asked him to do? No.
I mean, I didn't. He was completely off of anybody. No one talked about Mike Davis.
No, once the season started, no. Before the season, they were talking about this stable of running backs that they had and how good it was going to be. And then the season started, and none of those guys, all three of those guys that we're talking about, kind of disappeared.
But I think it's more, you can make it about Matt Nagy, and I can't, like, strongly argue against it, but it would equally be about Ryan Pace, right? His job is to scout talent and evaluate talent. But in 2019, when he was with the Bears and he had seven games and he had the 11 total rushing attempts, they get then release him because they get the draft pick, right? They cut him after like two games because if they cut him by that time, they got the compensatory draft pick. Right. And so then he signs on with Carolina last year and he appeared in five games and he had two rushing attempts total for 2 yards in five games that he was active for. So this is not like he
it's
was
not just a Bears and Matt Nagy problem. Right.
Right.
Nobody's done this with him till now.
It only happened for Mike Davis when McCaffrey went down and he got the opportunity to actually get volume touches. So it's like when you gave him a few touches a game, he was nothing. When you give him 25 touches a game, he's Christian McCaffrey. I think it speaks to Carolina's system, and it certainly speaks to opportunity, right? Time, place, there's luck that goes into all of this, but a huge part of the Bears' success on Sunday is going to be whether or not they can stop a guy who, for them, had 11 rushing attempts in two games and then they cut. And before this year, did nothing. He had four touchdowns in 2018 for Seattle. Before that, had one touchdown in 3 years.
If they go into this game on Sunday and Mike Davis runs all over them and the Bears continue to show themselves not able to run the football, I'm not saying it blow it up and everybody has to be fired, but that's damning for Pace and Nagy.
It'll be a very painful loss.
If Mike Davis runs all over you and you still can't run the football against especially a bad rush defense, you said they were 31st in average yards per rush, Danny?
Correct. Yards per rush allowed.
If you can't run the ball on this team and the guy who you just cut last year after you barely let him touch the football runs up and down the field on you, that's disheartening and damning for those two guys.
100%. And the Teddy Bridgewater component of it.
Yep.
Now, I don't think that they were ever prepared to offer Teddy Bridgewater that kind of money because I believe that they were committed to seeing Mitch Trubisky through another offseason and giving him the shot. So they talked to him, all of that. But I don't believe they were prepared to offer him 3 years, $60 million, and everything that came with it. And you give a guy that contract, he's your starter, right? You couldn't sign Teddy Bridgewater to the contract the Panthers did. It's why the Panthers traded Kyle Allen.
But I would have been okay with that. If you signed Teddy Bridgewater and made him the starter, I would have been okay with that. And I'm not like the biggest Mitchell Trubisky hater. I've been talking to you all week about how I think there was a little bit more to squeeze out of that lemon of Mitch Trubisky. I think he could have been a better quarterback than what we saw if he was with a coach who put him in better positions. But if they said we're signing Teddy Bridgewater and moving on from Mitchell Trubisky, I'd have been okay with that. I wouldn't have been over the moon about it. I wouldn't think that Teddy Bridgewater is coming in and winning MVPs and is going to be the reason we win a Super Bowl. But I'd be okay with it. I'd say that's an upgrade at the quarterback position. And anytime you can upgrade at the quarterback position, you do it.
Yeah, why I disagreed at the time, though, there's totally a reasonable argument for that, was that I think Teddy Bridgewater has a low ceiling, relatively speaking.
Agreed.
And he's playing pretty close to what I thought his ceiling was this year, which is the 12th best quarterback in the NFL. Like he's been pretty good. And you would take 12th best quarterback in the NFL in a heartbeat. If the Bears had the 12th best quarterback in the NFL, they'd be a legitimate Super Bowl.
Nobody is talking about they shouldn't be 4-1 or they're a fraud or any of the other stories storylines that are surrounding this team right now.
I mean, they'd probably be 5-0.
Yeah.
If they had the 12th best quarterback in the NFL. So I would have had no problem with that if that's what you thought you were actually getting. But to me, this is kind of like peak Teddy Bridgewater and they weren't going to move on from Mitch and commit long term to a guy who also had a low ceiling. Like they're not committed to Nick Foles long term.
Sure.
but he's got a low ceiling. Like they, so that was my thing. Like I think you want to,
you don't
want to
lock yourself into Teddy Bridgewater with his low ceiling for the next three seasons. Rather experiment with Foles if Trubisky
Correct.
Falls flat on his face again, and then you can move on from both if it doesn't work out.
Correct.
But I get that.
Now, and it, but again, there's a reasonable argument on the other side. I like want to dare to be great at quarterback and take that swing, especially when you've invested in the offensive side like you have with Nagy and everything like that. But the argument for the other side is, man, you got a championship defense now. So
exactly.
So if Teddy Bridgewater's the high floor quarterback, get him.
And he's a guy who's not going to lose you games. He's not prone to mistakes. And as I talked about earlier, great locker room guy, like elite, like top 1% leadership from things that I hear about Teddy Bridgewater and his presence in a locker room and in a huddle. Who was it yesterday we were talking to who said, I think it was Wani, who said what a quarterback does in the huddle and how he controls a huddle is one of the most important things. I think when Teddy Bridgewater steps into a huddle, he has everybody's undivided attention and is orchestrating that thing probably as well as anybody. I don't think he has the greatest arm talent. I don't think he's the greatest athlete in the world. But if you can get a guy who's not going to lose you football games, is not going to make mistakes and turn it over, and is a great leader, that seems like a perfect fit for a team that has a championship-ready defense.
It's a reasonable stance to take. I personally think that Nick Foles also has some of those things, right?
Sure.
Very smart between the ears, very football smart. A ton of swagger, as we've seen. Guys love him. Guys gravitate to him. All of that. I think he like checks all of those QB intangible boxes, but then lacks some of the physical talent, right, which you were talking about with Teddy Bridgewater. And he was way cheaper, and he already knew Matt Nagy's offense in an offseason where it's real hard to learn the offense with no preseason, no minicamp, no OTAs. So, and we talked about that a lot this offseason when I said I like the Nick Foles move because compared to the other options.
And it's a shorter commitment, like you said. You're not locking yourself into the next 3 years of Nick Foles, necessarily.
Yeah. Correct. You're right. You're not at all. It's $21 million guaranteed spread out over 3 years, but the cap hit in any individual year is not that significant that you can move on from Nick Foles.
It's not going to cost you a bunch. Right.
Very, very easily. So, yeah, I would not have done it. Like, I would not have done the Teddy Bridgewater angle for that reason because I just don't know. I honestly don't know. If you're going to pay him that much money, he's got to be your week one starter. But with no OTA, no mini camp, no preseason, could he have been up to speed in the system by week one without ever being on the field with it?
My timing is all thrown off because we don't even know what day it is during quarantine, Danny. But I don't remember the timing of that. Did they know about this weird offseason when they passed on Teddy Bridgewater, when they passed on that price tag and that contract, I should say, on Teddy Bridgewater? Was COVID, were we in full quarantine mode and we knew that this offseason and this training camp was in jeopardy? Okay. All right.
Yes. Okay. Yes, we did. Yeah, when NFL free agency happened.
That's right. Yeah, because they had the draft right after we all went into lockdown, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was taking a week of like delayed paternity leave, and Mac and Spiegs were in when the Bears got Nick Foles, and then I never came back to the studio.
Really?
I haven't been in the studio since March.
They're nice, by the way.
Yeah, they're
really
nice.
Really nice studios. Like you said, I was up here last year with Lawrence, and you guys, you upgraded since then. This is really nice in here.
Yeah, you know, because timing is everything, we spent a bunch of money upgrading the studios, and then a pandemic happened, and no one wanted to go downtown into a huge office building, and no one's been in them. Yeah, so it's, you know, it's going great. Everything's fine. We are basically the embodiment of the "this is fine, fine" meme.
Everything's fine.
With the dog,
with the world burning around him. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
This is going great.
That's exactly right. That's how the studios are being used right now.
I'm enjoying them. I know you're not, Danny, but I'm enjoying them. Palatial studios here in downtown Chicago.
I miss that seat.
I love it.
I miss that seat. Don't miss the commute. But I do miss that seat. But you're right, man. This bear, like, if you, there's a particular way where you could lose this Bears game.
Would you say commute?
Yeah,
Danny, you live in Lincoln Park. It's like 15 minutes.
Zero is better.
Yeah, I'm just walking to your couch. I've done a few shows from my couch, man.
No, he's not even doesn't even have to walk to anything. He wakes up and he's right there to his studio.
Wow.
In the bedroom.
That's That's amazing. Yeah.
Hey Danny, do you want to take that soundboard home with you this weekend so you can do the shows from your home next week?
I'd love to. Sure. I'm trying to figure out how to do it now.
Tanny, or Shane, it is a commute.
Yeah, man. Yep, for sure.
No, but Danny and I would take that red line sometimes during like a Cubs night game, and those are stressful commutes.
Yeah, I do it too. It's not that bad.
Except I would do it for considerably longer than Danny would. He would get off at a couple stops, and I'd keep going.
Yeah, yeah. No, Shane, it's not that bad, but this is better.
Okay, fine. It's 5:20 on a Friday. I'm getting a little testy. So I'm sorry.
Wait, has the pizza worn off? It was Pizza Friday.
It's still Pizza Friday, I think, isn't it?
I think
still
so.
Still Friday. You can't just stop Pizza Friday halfway through the Friday.
Yeah. And to text her earlier, daylight savings time does not impact Pizza Friday. Yeah, Shane, why I like having Shane around the show is the most innocuous comment ever could just be sent him
just
into
ruined
like,
his night.
Just so much rage. What?
Did you say commutes?
How dare you say commute?
Shane, do you have a long commute? Is that why comment rubbed you the wrong way?
Three stops north of Danny. It's the best part of my day, being able to chill out on the red line and watch my TikToks or read a book and just wind down. Danny's over here talking about, like, we're going to Canada. Like, we're going up to Toronto. It's 20 minutes, and you get to stop at the Whole Foods if you want when you get off your red line stop and get some Whole Foods.
Yeah, that's nice. That's enjoyable. And I will be honest, there are some times, and as I talk out of both sides of my mouth, when I walk out of the bedroom after doing the show and I just get handed a crying baby and there's like three things to do right away, and I'm like, man, I miss that commute. I miss winding down.
So basically, you're never happy. Either
you're catching on.
Okay, all right. You're trying to make sure.
Yeah. You. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah. No. You. Yeah. Absolutely. It's tough. And wow, multiple texters asking if I still get served OJ in bed every morning. No, that went away like in the second trimester.
You were getting served OJ in bed every morning.
Yeah.
Hey, Twitter world, it's me, yours truly.
No, not OJ Mahomes. No. My wife would you know, she would leave for work before me, and I had no real responsibility to have the afternoon show, and so I would just read, you know, the paper in bed on my phone with a glass of orange juice that was served to me in bed.
I mean, I'm not hating on it, man. That's
what I'm saying.
That's outstanding. That's great.
I shared it one time on the show, and apparently that was the most appalling thing in the world. Like, I think it's pretty awesome, frankly.
Nothing wrong with that. That's love right there. That's what that is.
Exactly. I'm trying to get my sugars down, though, so I've got rid of orange juice. I'm on this blender thing in the morning. Killing
enough the game. With the – oh, my God. Enough with the blender. Enough with the blender.
What?
Blender?
I know it makes
blend
you mad.
Every
set Shane off.
What's I can't blend every meal. I blend breakfast. I have a morning smoothie.
What's
a morning smoothie?
You talk about your Vitamix like it's the first time you've ever heard of a blender before, and you're just catching on, and you want people to understand, hey, have you guys heard of blenders?
Yeah.
We all know what they are. We're adults. We own blenders.
So you've replaced the juice with a smoothie? Is that what you're saying?
That is what I'm saying. Okay. There's other things that you could put into the Vitamix. And Shane, can you explain the blender to Rami what it can do?
Because
It's just incredible, man.
Shane is red right now. At least like a part
spinach,
of his face.
Kale.
Tanny walked out of the control room. This is what I don't think it's me. This is what you do. He's not in his chair there. He left. I haven't run wide orbit in 2 years. I can't do this.
Okay, well, that's too bad. I guess we're going to have to just keep talking about blenders and how amazing they are and what they're able to do. I'll tell
you
why.
Did you just discover this? I'm kind of with you. I'm
Here's
not as upset as Shane is, but I'm kind of with him. Like, you're just making smoothies, dude. You didn't discover America or something. You're just making smoothies, man.
No, we're in agreement. I did not discover America. Okay. I'm willing to concede that point. But this, I will tell you that I broke an old blender. And so like, it was like anything, you spend up. And it's amazing what it can do. I'm just saying, This isn't just like strawberry and ice cubes here. Strawberry banana. You can put anything in there.
I thought about upgrading my blender situation. Mine is still functioning, and I'm like you, Danny. I ride things till the wheels fall off. But I've been thinking about upgrading my blender because I'm a smoothie guy. I make a lot of smoothies. Yeah. I've been thinking about stepping up my blender game, and you're kind of talking me into it right now.
I'll send you a link, and we will change subjects so Shane Reardon doesn't quit his job.
I need several alcohols.
If you ever quit this job, will you promise to do it on the air?
Oh, like that guy Kumar, or what's his name, that quit the independent baseball? Remember him?
Kumar.
Whatever it is. I just see his name spelled out on Twitter. It looks like Kumar to me. But he quit his job at Independent League Baseball with the Schaumburg Flyers or something like that. No, I won't do that. I have too much respect for you people.
What do you mean? People?
Like us?
You people.
Okay. Well, that is... Well, see, some texters are asking blender follow-up questions, Shane. Okay. I'll tell you why coming up next. I feel like the Bears... I will take this personally.
I thought you were going to tease blender recipes.
I can tell you my smoothie recipe for today if you want.
No.
That or why I will take this game personally if the Bears' offense isn't good. I'm not sure which we're going to do.
Next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yes, we are going to drive Shane Reardon to quit here at the Danny Parkin Show with Rami Makhlouf in.
Danny, that was the guy. That was Kumar.
Oh.
That was him quitting on the air.
I don't want this job anymore.
I've never heard the full thing before. I don't think
I've
heard it.
It's like 10 minutes, I think.
Really?
Are you okay, Shep?
I don't want this job anymore.
When Shep has the giggles. When Shep has the giggles, it's the greatest. He can't compose himself.
I can't. Why do you say Kumar?
I thought that's what his name was.
Wait.
Kumar.
Oh my God.
Somebody, I can't have somebody get the giggles around me or I instantly get the giggles. It's contagious for me.
Oh God. Oh, Shep hasn't been in studio. He hasn't gotten the giggles around us in a long, long time.
Oh my God.
He gets uncontrollable Kumar. Laughter. It's
Oh,
so
I miss you,
fun.
Shane. Good God. Kumar was an old fellow intern with me way back in the NBC Tower days at this place.
It's a fun fact.
What an esteemed class
yeah.
that was.
Man.
It's like Sayers and Butkus in the same draft class.
That's right. We're still looking for our first playoff game, too.
Yeah, I get it. That's remarkable. I just love that Shep's getting on Shane for mispronouncing or misreading something when he literally called Rami a communist because Mitch called him a comedian. He's like, I thought it was commie.
I'm still confused by that. Still confused.
Just learn not to ask questions around me.
Oh, God, is that unbelievable. Texter says, you guys testing the product earlier today. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, 601 for me, for sure.
Smoke weed every day.
Yeah, but nah, I don't.
I'm
I
in
don't...
studio, man. I wouldn't. No. That's, yeah. So that's not even a possibility for
there
me.
There are two beers in my office fridge that will
Those
be.
Those are iced teas.
They'll be drank before I leave here today. For Good. Sure.
Good.
I'll be drank as well.
Oh, God, that is. I don't know what the hell we're doing around here. Are the checks going to clear for this show? I'm not 100% sure.
I'm not even clear on if I'm getting paid for this show, so I don't know.
Oh, yeah? I didn't even ask.
I have no idea.
Way to use your leverage.
Thank you. Appreciate
I like
it.
That. Oh, yeah. I'll be there for free. Of course.
Never asked.
That's.
Oh, you want me to drive to Chicago from Milwaukee? Done.
Done. Done and done. From Minneapolis, man.
Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Good Lord. Radio. What a business. I will say, to try to make a Bears point to you here, Rami,
who cares?
It's kind of how I feel. I am picking them to win, and I will take it personally if the offense isn't good. I will take it as a personal affront to me.
Please make this personal.
As someone who has defended Matt Nagy for years.
I think you should.
He has Foles over Trubisky. I said he wanted Foles over Trubisky from week one, and it was forced on him from Ryan Pace. He has extra time to prepare. He has a bad defense. He has a mostly healthy offense. I mean, the James Daniels injury is big. Tariq Cohen injury is big. But compared to the rest of the NFL, the Bears are still on the plus side of the injury bell curve. I've given the stat out 100 times. Why would 101 be any different? They're the 25th ranked DVOA defense, the Panthers are. They're 31st against the run. They're averaging 5.38 yards per carry allowed. Every time you run the ball against the Panthers, you get 5 and change. The Bucs were the first ranked or the second ranked defense. The Colts were the first ranked defense. They should be able to, just by power of an easy compare, they should be able to dominate offensively. And Matt Nagy, I've defended you since you got hired. If your offense doesn't look above average, I'm not even saying great, 27 or more points, 100 rushing yards from David Montgomery, be able to move the ball through the air, on the ground, win time of possession, and control this game, win convincingly, even though you are an underdog. I understand Carolina's good, but your offense should look good and be able to do whatever it wants. You said you wanted to iron out the details. You had plenty of time to iron out the details. This should be the best offensive game of the year, start to finish, for the Bears.
Yeah, he's out of excuses. Matt Nagy is officially out of excuses. Because when we were talking earlier about Ryan Pace and putting this roster together and me saying that he hasn't given Nagy a lot to work with in terms of playmakers at the skill positions, and he said, well, Nagy had a hand in picking those players too. So now this is his offense. This is his quarterback. These are his players. And he's going against a terrible defense. And Danny, I wish I shared the faith that you do, the trust, or maybe just the hope that this offense is going to figure it out because they're going against such a bad defense and specifically such a bad run defense. And you're right about the Colts and the Buccaneers, two really good defenses and especially good at stopping the run. But Matt Nagy's offense is not scoring enough points and struggling in the run game is not unique to 2020. This has been a problem since he's gotten here, but I agree with you that this should start to be the turning point. If Matt Nagy doesn't start to prove you right and make you start to look smart in terms of your analysis of him, I think this is where you have to start to turn and question and doubt whether or not what you've been saying to this point in your defense of him is true or valid. I think you're right.
I think it makes sense because you were higher on Trubisky, right? So like I thought that, especially last year, that it seemed like more of the blame was on him. We watch these games and receivers get schemed wide open. And in fairness, Foles missed them too in the first half against Tampa, right? He was terrible. So it's not like Foles is great. And that's why I always said, It's not that Foles is great. It's not that this offense is going to be great yet, because he ain't great. He's average at best.
But a better fit.
Fit. Knowledge. Between the ears. He gets it. He read and react at the line of scrimmage. The play to David Montgomery to seal the game last week, or to seal the field goal attempt in reasonable down and distance. It's the perfect example. He sees an all-out blitz. He motions David Montgomery into the backfield. He sees that Shaquille Barrett calls off the blitz. He signals to Charles Leno, hey, you can slide your protection to this guy. He then says, hey, David Montgomery, I don't need you to be here in the backfield. Go out and run. So then he signals to Allen Robinson, I need you to run a pick run, a rub route. He does all of that in 13 seconds of play clock. Motions Montgomery in, notices the defensive adjustment, motions Montgomery out, changes Leno, changes Robinson. He does 5 sight adjustments in 13
Trubisky
seconds.
Trubisky doesn't do that.
He doesn't do it.
Even as a somewhat of a Mitchell Trubisky apologist, I will admit he doesn't do that because he doesn't recognize things in defenses, whether it's pre-snap or whether it's while the play is happening. He doesn't know how to recognize and read defenses and make changes and adjustments on the fly. That is an absolute weakness of Mitchell Trubisky's game, no doubt about it, and it's a strength of Nick Foles' game.
And so because this system, when run correctly, is a read and react, RPO, kill system, right? This system at its best is there's 2 plays called in the huddle,
mm-hmm.
and at the line, the quarterback makes the kill. Are we going with play 1 or play 2? He signals it out based on what he read with the defense, right? It's a lot of out of the huddle, post-huddle analysis. I look at the defense. I know my 2 plays. I communicate which play we're running to my team. If we need to change it, I change it back. It's high level, very quick mental processing. And that ain't Mitch Trubisky's game.
At all.
He's more athletic. He's got more upside. He's more mobile. He has a higher ceiling. But that's not what it is. And so to me, that's what the advantage for Foles is. So now, when you had 10 days, and Nagy is only 1-4 in his career as head coach of the Bears, off of bye or after Thursday Night Football with extra rest, he's only 1-4, so that's not good. This has to be the week where his offense starts to change that narrative. And as someone who has said time and again, even when it looked really bad, this isn't on Nagy because he doesn't have a quarterback who can run his offense the way he wants to. Now he's got everything. He's got a QB who he has between the ears, and he's got an opponent who's ripe for the picking. And again, I'm not sitting here saying 35 points, 40 points.
And 27, 30 points, maybe. Yeah. Maybe 30.
27 or more, above average. Make it look, and what I also don't want is the first drive of the game, no 3 and outs. Like, none of this 10-point deficit, 16-point deficit, furious fourth quarter comeback against prevent defenses. Like, sustained, consistent. The game, the Panthers game against the Cardinals, I watched a ton of that game. Teddy Bridgewater had a 15-play drive, a 15-play scoring drive, a 13-play scoring drive, a 9-play scoring drive, an 8-play scoring drive. Just it was so methodical. Just they always
just grinding
converting.
You down. Just grinding you down, grinding, and keeping that bad defense that they have off of the field. I think that's got to be part of the strategy and the thinking there, too.
Right, I mean, but it was just like, it was like 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3,
right.
3rd and 2, right? Because it was just, they did anything they wanted. Now, Buda Baker wasn't in the game for the Cardinals. That matters, but it was a very efficient, and at the end of the game, an easy 31-21 win, and they dominated time of possession, and it was just like, oh, man, they did anything they wanted offensively. That's, to me, what this should be against the Panthers on Sunday.
I agree. If your belief in Matt Nagy is true and the things you say about Matt Nagy are true, then this is the game where they have to show it. And this is the game where Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, defenders and apologists, if you're one of them, you need to start to take a look at things after this game if they don't put up the type of performance that Danny is talking about right now. I think this is a game where your belief in those guys starts to waver if they don't give you what Danny's asking for.
And by the way, as the game's going on, we're going to try to be better at voicemails this week, voice memos. That's right, Tanny. I'm sending you into your weekend dreading that. DannyParkinsShow@gmail.com. Voice memos live during the game. You send them in.
I'm confused as to what Tanny is dreading, because I am the one who volunteered to cut all of this worthless audio of these worthless listeners.
What are you dreading, Danny?
Yeah, exactly.
Hearing them.
Just be creative.
This is the worst 3-1 team in football. Good God. Missing tackles. A-Rob's giving up the ball. Foles looks like a turtle taking a God, just fire them all.
That was our best one out of 70 voice.
That could not have been the best one.
So bad.
That could not have been the best. I refuse to believe that.
I think we're going to have some good ones, though, this weekend. I think they're going to lose, and it's going to be a frustrating game. I think we'll have some good ones.
That's the spirit. Send them into the weekend laughing. So Danny Parkin Show, voice memos during the Bears game. We will play the best and worst ones on Monday's show. We'll put a bow on this thing next on The Score.
Bye. Have a great Friday, you
We hope everyone out there is having a great Friday. All right, so Tanny thinks the Bears are losing. Rami, what about you?
I think they're losing too. I think it's going to be a close game, but I think they lose this one. And I just – I know he's a rookie head coach. I think Carolina's better coached than the Bears are right now. And Matt Nagy has a lot more wins under his belt to argue against that case. But I just look at how he's putting guys, especially on the offensive side of the football, in a position to succeed – and I don't see that from the Bears head coach. From an X's and O's standpoint and strategizing and scheming, give me Matt Rhule, man, and I think that's going to be the difference on Sunday.
I'm really looking forward to Jalen Johnson and Kyle Fuller going up against Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore.
That should be a battle.
They're top four. They're both in the top four in terms of completion percentage against Fuller and Jalen Johnson. Robbie Anderson is top five in yards after the catch this year. They throw the ball downfield to both of them a ton. Jalen Johnson, you know, Brady got him, but he held up, against Stafford. He held up against Matt Ryan, and he battled back even against Brady. It's not like he had only awful plays in that game. So I think that what the Panthers' strength is right now, which is their downfield passing game, I think the Bears match up pretty well with it. And I just think that this game is actually sets up well for the Bears' offense, especially with the extra time to prepare. So,
I shut it down.
Cautiously optimistic. Cautious. Hey, man. I respect the hell out of your hustle.
Thank you, sir.
I hope you had fun this week.
Dream come true. Had a blast. All you guys, thank you so much. Literally a dream come true to be on these airwaves on this shift. And y'all are consummate professionals. Made me feel welcome, right at home, part of the team. Nope. Can't thank you enough. Thank
hey,
you
Rami,
so much, guys.
One
and thanks
glass
to Mitch
of bourbon
Rosen.
Before bed gives you better dreams, by the way.
Oh, I'll keep that in mind tonight.
Rami is tweeting is his Twitter handle. You should follow him. You should interact with him. You should tell him how much you enjoyed him or how much you hated him.
How terrible my takes are. The roof.
Dude, don't
Josh
get into
Allen.
That one. Dude, Josh Allen. I'm going to be texting you when Josh Allen has 400 yards and four touchdowns.
I'd expect nothing less.
Against the Chiefs this weekend. Dude is – you have a backup. Incredible.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, you could be wrong. I like
I've been
that
wrong plenty. I've been wrong
That's
plenty.
True. That's true. I would say I could be wrong, but on that one, I don't think I could be. Olin Krutz was our only guest on today's fine radio program. Nick Shepkowski is our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Shane Reardon has been helping out throughout all of Scorantine. We appreciate him very much. Shane, did you hear what was in my smoothie this morning?
Yeah, I heard it in your Mimecast read. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. It was great. It's delicious. I'm going to send you a picture of that tomorrow as well. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. For Rami Makhlouf, I'm Danny Parkin. Zach Zaidman is coming up next. This is the Danny Parkin Show on The Score.
Twitter world, yours truly. Well, it's been quite a week, you know.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.